ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Saram from Prashanthi Nilam, the most happening place on the planet. Back to our series on the life of Srimati Suryakantamma. In this program, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, it has been our endeavor to share with you stories from the life of Bhagwan in the series Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Also, stories from the life of devotees who have had the opportunity to serve Bhagwan at very close quarters. Stories of people who have been exemplary servitors of Bhagwan in the series Beacons of Prashanti. 2 weeks ago, I started the story of Suryakantamma garu. She is someone who served in the South Indian canteen for close to 4 decades, right from the 60s. Even now, at the age of 85, she has a fantastic memory. She is not dependent on anyone for anything. She not only looks after her own affairs very well, also does a lot of social work, inspires so many women, sevadals and youngsters to spend their days and life in dedication, in service. And at the same time, constantly worrying how to inculcate love for God in the hearts of devotees. She got a book reprinted called Bhakta Leelamritam. This was a book which she had read as a child. This book had the stories of many enlightened saints. It is these stories that had deep impact on her, and she felt, if it could touch me, it could touch someone else also. And now, in the evening of her life, she spent so much time, resources to resurrect this book. She added new chapters. This book is in Telugu. It's a beautiful, pretty comprehensive volume on the lives of so many saints. And it has been her dream to see that this book reaches out to all those people who love Swami, so that their lives are sanctified. They take inspiration from such souls and go after that which is permanent in life. So the story of Kantamma goes back to the 40s. I have shared with you her childhood, how she lost her father when she was very small, how she was brought up by her maternal uncle, how she became a sarpanch, the village head, when she was just 19. As a single mother, she brought up her son with great love. At the same time, she was initiated into the tradition of worshipping Lord Panduranga by her uncle. There was this shrine in Chilakalapudi in the Krishna district of Andhra Pradesh, where Lord Panduranga appeared on his own, and that's how the temple came into being. Her devotion towards Panduranga intensified. Her service at the shrine became her passion. At the same time, serving the country, serving the rural people as the sarpanch and later as member of the Jilla Parishad. So she became part of the local government. And given that she was the daughter of a freedom fighter, the Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh loved her. He had great concern for her. And that is how she was able to get a lot of things done, lot of social welfare initiatives, building roads and buildings and water and power connections for the remote areas, all that she was busy with. And in the midst of all this, there were people who told him about Bhagwan, and I told you in the previous session how she had her first darshan of Bhagwan in the late 50s, a glimpse, and then another darshan of Bhagwan in Eluru, and finally she came to Puttaparthi to soak herself in the darshan of Bhagwan in March 1961, her first darshan. Now she was pulled to Prashanthi Nilayam. And I shared with you how it was to be in Prashanthi in those days. The condition, the facilities, the rudimentary conveniences that devotees had to manage with. No facilities to take a shower. So they used to go to Chitravati River at 3:30 in the morning. There was one well in front of where the Ganesh temple is. And even there, the water was not all the time there. People have to lower the bucket into that well and wait for 30 odd minutes for that bucket to fill up. There was a small canteen. Devotees themselves cooked. The whole ashram was run by two people. One was Mr. Suraya, who was a former tehsildar, and he was someone who had dedicated himself to Bhagwan's work. He was a bachelor. He stayed in the ashram and looked after the accommodation, the canteen and all the other facilities. And the other person in charge of the Veda Pathshala that Bhagwan had started, the school for Vedic learning, and running Sanatana Sarathi magazine, the Ashram Monthly magazine, and translating Bhagwan's discourses, and looking after guests. So being the PRO, being the editor, being the author, being the caretaker of the Veda Pathshala, being the translator of Bhagwan's discourses. Yes, it was Professor Kasturi. So it was Professor Kasturi and Mr. Suraya who were at that time managing all aspects of the ashram. And during that first trip, Mrs. Kantamma had her lunch and she just took a nap under the tree. And when she slept, suddenly she saw a dream. And in the dream, she saw that there are two hills, and from between the two hills, she saw Bhagwan there. Swami was there between the two hills giving a darshan in the dream as she slept under a tree in the Prashanthi Nilayam compound. She woke up very happy, The presence of Bhagwan was so palpable. And when that happened, she felt so reassured. She knew Bhagwan would bless her. It was the time of Shivratri and Bhagwan was giving discourses every single day. In fact, Bhagwan gave discourses for a whole week. And whoever came for Bhagwan's darshan in those days, Swami would always call them for an interview. Every person left Prashantanilayam after getting a personal audience with Bhagwan and receiving his blessings and prasadam directly from his hands. So it was her time, her turn also to be blessed in this manner. So Bhagwan called Kantamagaru and her mother along with Kantamagaru's son for the very first time during the March of 1961 after the Shivratri celebrations. And in the course of that conversation, look at what Bhagwan said. Bhagwan revealed, I know you have been trying to come for the last 2 years, but was unable to make the trip. Do you know why? Because it was not my will. My will wasn't there for you to come. Now I willed, and that is the reason you are here for my darshan. I told you earlier how every time she heard about Bhagwan, when Devula, Satyavati mentioned to her about Bhagwan, she wanted to come. When another person she met in Chilakalapudi told her about Bhagwan, she wanted to come. Every time she wanted to come, it just did not happen. And Swami says, I know you have been trying to come for the last 2 years, but now I will that you should be here. In fact, Bhagwan spoke at length with Kantamagaru, gave her the assurance, I will take care of your son. You are just a trustee. I am everything for the son. I am his father, mother, everything. You are just a trustee. You walk on the spiritual path. I will take care of everything else. And in fact, Swami held Kantamagaru's hand and Swami said, I will not leave you. I will not leave you. I will not leave you. 3 times. So imagine when Kantamagaru stepped out of the interview room, she was in the 17th heaven. She just wanted to be with Bhagwan. She just did not want to leave Swami and go. That one session with Bhagwan was so soul-filling. She felt so complete within. In fact, as she says, for me it was the same bliss that I used to experience when I am in Chilakalapudi in the shrine of Lord Panduranga. That same sublime feeling I felt when I was with Bhagwan. And now I could not bear to stay away from Bhagwan. But they had to return to their village. Her mother wanted to have the darshan of Lord Venkateshwara in Tirupati. And so she took her to Tirupati. And when they went to the sanctum sanctorum of Tirupati to have darshan of Lord Venkateshwara, Kantamagaru says, when she lifted her head to see Lord Venkateshwara, she says, I could not see him. I only saw my Swami. I could see only Swami. I rubbed my eyes to see if I'm seeing something else. But it was so real. Venkateshwara had become Saishwara for me. And that was one experience where the revelation dawned on her that it is the same divine. Bhagwan is that same divine which millions of people are worshipping. The same Venkateshwara, the Lord of Seven Hills. He is the same Lord. And that made her think, why do I have to go anywhere else? Why do I have to come to Tirupati when my Lord in Puttaparthi is the Supreme One? He is the same divine, ultimate principle. And so she started coming to Prashantanilayam every 2 months. Every time she got an opportunity, she would come. She would be there for every festival. She would serve in the canteen. Whatever work was needed during these celebrations, she was there for Guru Purnima, she was there for Janmashtami, she was there for Ganesh Chaturthi, she was there for Dasara. Every festival she was there, Shivratri. Every time in those days, Bhagwan would give interviews after the festival concluded. And Swami especially would guide her on her spiritual journey. Now, prior to March 1961, she would visit the Panduranga Shrine in Chalakalapudi very often. She would perform seva there. But now, after experiencing Bhagwan, Swami had taken over her heart in such a compelling manner that she did not feel like going anywhere else. She stopped visiting the Panduranga Shrine. And one day her maternal uncle told, you have not gone to Chalakalapudi for so long, you must go there and have darshan of Lord Panduranga. And she said, yes, I agree. But there was always this question in her heart, will my Swami approve? Because my heart is now dedicated to Bhagwan. Is it okay for me to go there? Do I have Bhagwan's approval for this now that I have given myself completely to Him? In fact, the great devotee of the Lord, Sri Narasimha Das, who had initiated her into the Panduranga tradition, he also was mentioning that she has not visited the shrine for very long. So the maternal uncle said, Sri Narasimha Das is becoming old, you should go once and see him. But Kantamma Garu was in a dilemma. She was not sure if she should go there anymore because her heart was in Puttaparthi and she did not want to do anything without getting permission from Bhagwan. So she wrote a letter to Swami. She mentioned everything about the seva that she usually used to do in the Panduranga shrine, how she used to visit this shrine very often and how she has been initiated into the Panduranga worship tradition and how she has been following that fast on Ekadashis and doing the Namajapa and everything. Everything she wrote and sent a letter to Bhagwan. Finally asking Swami, is it okay for me to go and have darshan of Lord Panduranga? She posted this letter and there was no response from Bhagwan. In fact, in those days, Swami would respond to devotees' letters. Many devotees were fortunate to receive these handwritten replies from Bhagwan. So she was also expecting that Swami would send a reply to her. But the reply did not come. And soon arrived the month of November and she was in Puttaparthi for Bhagwan's birthday. The birthday celebrations went on very well. And as always, she would be busy serving in the canteen and serving whatever task Bhagwan gave on important festival, Swami would ask a few ladies to do crowd control, in the sense that to ensure that the people do not fall at his feet. So she was there trying to maintain discipline whenever Bhagwan went for darshan. And after all the festival celebrations are over, Swami would call all these devotees and Swami would give prasadam. Before the seva festival starts, Swami would give badges for seva. The people who should serve were given specific badges by Bhagwan. Swami selected who should be serving. And always she had the duty in the canteen. That was one place where she engaged herself in. And Bhagwan always used to ask her to go there. So on this occasion, after the birthday, when Bhagwan called her inside, she had written this letter about if she should go and have the darshan of Lord Panduranga in Chilakalapudi. And as she enters the interview room, the first thing Swami asks her, "Did you go to Chilakalapudi?" And she says, "No, Swami, I did not go." And Swami says, "Why didn't you go?" And she said, "Swami, I was waiting for approval, Swami." But she couldn't really say anything much. And Swami asked again. And she said, "No, Swami, I was just waiting to ask you, Swami, if you permit, I will go." And then Swami said, "Would I ask you not to go? Do you think I would bar you from going to the shrine in Chilakalapudi? Why didn't you go?" And Kantamagaru could not say anything. And Swami asked again, "Tell me, will I ask you not to go? Why didn't you go?" And Kantamagaru had no answer, because she was all the time in two minds, because on one hand, she just feels so pulled to Swami and she does not feel like doing anything without Swami's permission. She has given her heart to Swami. On the other hand, yes, she has taken the Panduranga Diksha and she has taken that vow to worship Lord Panduranga, and she didn't know what to do. And here Bhagwan is asking, "Will I tell you not to go? Why didn't you go?" And she just did not answer. Swami asked for the third time, now in a very stern voice, "Why didn't you go? Do you think I will tell you not to go?" And as Bhagwan looked at her sternly, Kantamagaru stared at Bhagwan's face. She was completely blank. She was transfixed to the spot. She didn't know how to respond. And even as she gazed into Bhagwan's face, suddenly everything changed. And in Swami's face, she saw the face of Lord Panduranga. Whole scene changed. As Swami was saying, "Why didn't you go? Why didn't you go?" And she looked at Bhagwan, and it was no more Bhagwan. It was her Lord Panduranga, whom she had worshipped diligently for 12 years, following all these Ekadasha Vratas, following all the scriptural injunctions and tradition, and doing the japa, dhyana and fasting. That same Lord Panduranga she saw resplendent in the face of Bhagwan, and she just was blissed out.
Hey!
she had this vision of Bhagwan as Panduranga in the interview room, and Swami is still looking at her, and 5 seconds whole thing changed again. It was Bhagwan. And still now Bhagwan is asking, why didn't you go? Tell me why didn't you go to Chilakalapuri? And now, after having had the darshan of Lord Panduranga, Kantamma garu said, why should I go, Swami? My Sai Ranga is here itself. Then Bhagwan smiled and Swami said, if Sai Ranga is here, why did you write a letter saying that you want to go there? Kantamma garu had no answer. She had written the letter 1 month ago. Thousands of devotees write so many letters to Bhagwan. And Swami was saying, yeah, I know you had written a letter. Why did you write a letter that you want to go if your Sai Ranga is here itself? And then Bhagwan looked into Kantamma garu's eyes, and with a lot of love, Swami said, it is the fruit of your seva to the Lord for so many years that you have secured this opportunity of coming to me. It is by virtue of your seva to the Lord for so many years that you could now find me. This is the culmination of your 12-year long sadhana. Shri Kantamma garu, as a child, used to read many books of the saints. As I mentioned before, one of her uncles had joined the Shivananda ashram, Rishikesh. He had got initiated there and he had a different name now. And this relative of Kantamma garu would send many books filled with spiritual philosophy and the stories of great devotees of the Lord. And Kantamma, as a little child, she used to think that before I turn 30, when I have energy, I should go to the Himalayas and I should visit all these sacred places. I should meet all these enlightened masters. That was her dream. But after that interview with Bhagwan, after that darshan, she said everything just disappeared. All those desires completely were nullified. She just did not feel the need to go anywhere else, to see anybody else. She just started coming to Prashanti as often as she could. Guru Purnima, Dasara, birthday, Shivratri, Ugadi, she was here. She would serve and fill herself with the darshan of Bhagwan, and Swami would give interview. After every festival, he would give interview. It was one of these times a thought occurred in her head. Swami gives so many gifts to so many people. Whatever people ask, he gives. What do I need? And she said to herself, if I get a meditation bead, it would be nice. If I get a japamala, it will help me in my sadhana. Anyway, I do a lot of japa. How beautiful it would be if Swami himself gives me a japamala. So that was the thought in her mind as she left Prashanthi Nilayam, filled with the interview session with Bhagwan. And when she was sleeping in the train on the way to her home at Vijayawada, suddenly she had a dream. And in the dream, she saw that Swami was on a hill. Swami was standing on a stone. It was a very beautiful hill. There was Professor Kasturi there, and she was also standing on a stone. And even in that dream, she has this thought, how nice it would be if I get a Japmala. And the moment she has this thought in the dream, she says that Swami waves his hand and Swami creates this Japmala, this rosary, and Swami throws at her. And she catches it. She catches it. That is what she was thinking. And in the dream, Bhagwan recreated, Bhagwan rewarded her, fructified her wish in the dream, and she saw that, she caught that Japmala, and the moment she caught it, Swami vanished in the dream. And when Swami vanished, she woke up with startled, and she started searching for that Japmala because it was so real. She was convinced that the Japmala is there somewhere around her. In fact, it took quite some time for her to believe that she was actually in the train and it was all a dream. It was so very real. But she just started searching, because she had known of experiences where Swami promised one person that he would give a Japmala, and when this couple was traveling in a car, suddenly they heard a thud on the top of the car, and when they checked, it was a Japmala which has landed from nowhere. So Swami had blessed devotees in that manner, and so she thought, definitely the Japmala is there. I caught it. Japmala is there somewhere. So she started searching everywhere, in the train, in her baggage, in the bedding, because she was in an upper berth. So she was searching everywhere. Where is that Japmala, Japmala? And she searched and searched, and she did not find it. Finally, she just reconciled that, yes, it was just a dream, but she just felt, no, but Swami is going to give me this. Swami is going to, because it was such a real thing. Swami definitely is going to give me this Japmala. And after a month, she came to Puttaparthi. And now it was the festival of Krishna Janmashtami. Swami gave her interview, just like he did after every festival. And Swami told her, you come for Dasara to Puttaparthi for the next festival. When she came to Prashanthi Nilayam for the Dasara festival, now, in the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir, on one side, on the west side, in the first floor, Bhagwan stayed. That's where Bhagwan had his bedroom. Right opposite, on the eastern side, there was one room where Bhagwan used to have his food. So generally, Bhagwan's relatives would bring the food and they would be in the east side room. That was the Bhojanalaya, that was the dining hall of Bhagwan. And in those days, people could see Bhagwan going from the west side to the east side, because Swami would go through the Mandir veranda and it was open. People would always wait to see Bhagwan move from this corner of the Mandir to the other corner. And there were some people who had the opportunity to stand in the steps that led to the dining room. And Swami would often see those people who are there, and sometimes he would speak to them. So before he went inside and had his food, Swami would always look out for people who were there in the steps there. And of course, it was only those people whom he had permitted. There were very few people who had that privilege to be there. And Kantamagaru had that opportunity. So the moment Swami saw Kantamagaru there standing on the steps, Swami told, you come. So she went inside. And when she was with Bhagwan, Swami now extended his hand. Swami just extended his hand And Swami asked her to accept what he was giving. And when she saw what emerged from Bhagwan's hand, it was, yes, the Japmala. And Swami told her, this is Panchamukhi Tulasi Mala. It's a five-faced Tulasi bead. But Kantamagaru saw that it was Rudraksha. It was not a Tulasi bead. Tulasi beads are made out of Tulasi plant. This is a Rudraksha. But Swami said, this is Panchamukhi Tulasi Mala. And Kantamagaru says, at that point in time, immediately I did not understand what Swami meant, but later on when I contemplated, I realized Swami was telling me that till now you were worshipping Panduranga, and Panduranga always is worshipped with Tulasi. The people who adore Lord Panduranga do japa with the Tulasi bead, and the people who worship Lord Shiva, they do their japa with the Rudraksha. And Swami was telling, this is Panchamukhi Tulasi Mala. Just to let her know that there is no difference between Shiva and Keshava. Because she was so much into the Panduranga tradition, Swami gave a Rudraksha but said, this is Tulasi. And Swami did not stop there. Bhagwan then made a beautiful revelation and said, earlier I gave you the Japmala in Paroksha, now I am giving it in Pratyaksha. Meaning, earlier I gave it to you not in a real manner. I gave it to you not in the physical plane. Now I am giving it to you in the real world. Directly. Earlier you had indirect blessing. Now this is a direct gift. And Kantamagaru experienced how a just a fleeting thought, and Bhagwan responded so beautifully. And then she started thinking, but Swami gave me the Japmala, but Swami did not give me the mantra, which mantra to repeat, because earlier she was repeating the mantra that she was initiated into by Sri Narasimha Das of the Panduranga tradition. But now her heart was filled with Swami, and she wanted to know what is the mantra that she should repeat. And now Bhagwan again came in the dream, and Swami told her, merge me with the earlier one, merge me with the earlier one. Swami has always strengthened our roots. He's someone who never affects our foundation. He makes our foundation stronger and sturdy. So Swami said, there is no difference. You merge me with the earlier one. And so what she started doing is she interspersed Swami in the mantra in which she was chanting. And now she knows that it is the same Shiva, it is the same Vishnu, it is the same Sai. At that point in time, she was still the sarpanch, the village head, and she would wear this Japmala on her all the time. And she had a lot of responsibility heading the local government there. She had to attend many meetings of ministers and government officials who were in high ranks. On one occasion when she was in such a meeting, it was a Jilla Parishad meeting, some of the elders who were there, some of the ministers and such kind of people who were there, they had great respect for her because she was the son of a freedom fighter. But someone remarked there, why are you wearing the Japmala? You are so small. Because you are just in 20s. This Japmala is meant for your mother. She is in the evening of her life, you should give it to her. Why are you wearing the Japmala? And she felt very uncomfortable when someone commented her in this manner, and she was so young. So she said, why should I wear something which invites all such comments from people? Even though she was convinced. So she started keeping the Japmala in a box from then on, and she would not wear it to the meetings. She would wear it when she was in the home, and she would wear it. She would keep it in this box, and she would keep the box always with her, no matter where she went. She just did not like people commenting on the Japmala because it was so precious to her. It meant so much to her. Her chanting continued, but given that she was so busy with the official work, the responsibility, she was not getting enough time to do the mandatory number of hours that she wanted to do for japa. But this box was always with her. She would sleep with the box. She would always preserve this japmala. Even when she came to Prashantinilayam, this box always accompanied her. In fact, in those days, Swami had given her the opportunity to sleep in the mandir. There were a few ladies who had the opportunity to sleep in the mandir compound. Of course, those were the times when there were absolutely no accommodations, so everybody had to sleep in those mandir sands. And early in the morning, they would be woken up by a devotee by name Lakshmamma, and she would come and say, 4 o'clock, get up, get up, get up. Omkaram will start now. And there were devotees who worked in the canteen, who worked to make vibhuti packets. And so for Kantamma, this japmala meant everything, and she would always keep it with her even when she came to Prashantinilayam. One day, when she was sleeping in Prashanti with the japmala box next to her, she had a dream. And this dream was so different. It was a very fearsome dream because she saw that Swami was on the throne, and she was sitting at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. But as she looked at Bhagwan, Swami's face changed, and Swami had become the Narasimha Rupa. Swami had become the half man, half lion form, and Swami's face was ferocious. And on Bhagwan's lap, on just how you see in the Narasimha Avatar's lap, you have Hiranyakashipu, the demon, and the nails of the lion god removing, tearing apart the stomach of Hiranyakashipu, the one who challenged God. Where are you? Are you there in the pillar? And Narasimha emerged from the pillar. That same Narasimha in that fearful form was there in the dream. She saw that Swami transformed into this Narasimha, and there was blood on the floor, blood flowing from the nails of the Narasimha avatar, and that blood that was flowing, that was coming near her. She was sitting down, and all that really just struck so much fear into her being that she was seeing Swami, and suddenly everything had become so different and so intimidating, so fearful. She started praying to Bhagwan. She started singing, "Oh Bhagavan, Oh Bhagavan." There used to be this bhajan, "Oh Bhagavan, Oh Bhagavan." They used to sing it in so many stanzas. In those days, it was a very common and very popular bhajan. And she started singing this bhajan, "Oh Bhagavan, Oh Bhagavan," seeing that fearful form of Bhagwan. And that dream in Prashantinilayam was always a mystery to Kantamma garu. Her go-to thing for everything was this box, this japmala box. When she woke up from the dream, she just held on to this japmala box. When she returned to Prashantinilayam for the next festival of Dasara, she had kept this box under her saris, under her clothes. In fact, she had bought 2 new white saris, and she had kept this box under the clothes. Kantamma garu always wore white sari, right from the early age when her husband passed away when she was barely 18, 19 years old. She always chose to wear white. And on that occasion, when she came to Prashantalayam for the Dasara celebration, one morning as she woke up, she was searching for the box and the box was not there anywhere. She had made a very beautiful box. The box which was her constant companion was not there, and she started thinking, oh, did I forget? Because she had gone for shopping to buy these two white saris. Did she leave it in the shop? Did she leave it in her home? Did she leave it in the train? She started frantically searching, where is it, where is it? But everywhere she searched, she could not find the box. So her japmala was nowhere there, and she felt so crestfallen. But she did not stop her sadhana. She would mentally do the chanting, even though the japmala was not there. But that was something that kept bothering her. And she was waiting for an opportunity to tell Bhagavan that, you know, this mishap has happened. She has no clue how it happened. And there was no opportunity on that time. She came back to Prashantalayam after 2 months, again for the next festival. And Bhagavan gave interview. In fact, when she went back, she had written a letter to Swami also saying, Swami, this is what happened. I have lost that japmala that you had so lovingly given me. And now when Bhagavan called her for the interview, as she enters the interview room, Swami asks, did you get your japmala? And she said, Swami, the japmala is gone, Swami. I don't know what mistake have I done. It is just lost. Please forgive me, Swami. And she started pleading to Swami, feeling so sorry that she lost that japmala. And Swami said, did you see the thief who took away that japmala? Do you know that thief? She said, no, Swami, I don't know who stole it, Swami. Swami said, no, you know that thief very well. You know that thief. And she said, no, Swami. Swami said, no, you know. You know that thief who stole the japmala. She said, no, Swami, I am searching. I don't know who stole it, where, Swami. Swami said, no, you know that thief. Tell, who is that thief who took that japmala? And as Swami kept telling, tell me, who is that thief? Then it struck to her what Bhagavan is indicating. And now she realized and she told Swami. She pointed to Swami and Swami said, yes, Swami, this is the thief, Swami. This is the thief. You are that thief, Swami, who took away my japmala. Then Bhagavan smiled and said, no thief can take away what I give. Know this. No thief can take away what I give. Whatever I give, it will come back to me. And then, there were a few devotees who had come from Mandapeta. That's a place in Andhra Pradesh. Bhagavan once called them for an interview, and on that occasion, Swami called Kantamma Garu also along with those devotees. And in that session, Swami now waved his hand and Swami created a Ekamukhi Rudraksha, this one-eyed Rudraksha. And now Swami gave this to Kantamma and Swami said, use this for your meditation. This is good for meditation. There is no need for you to do japa anymore. No need for you to chant and do japa. You have done it for so long. You don't need it anymore. Now you have to do meditation. And Swami told her how to do the meditation. Swami guided her on the meditation procedure. Swami told her how she should place this Rudraksha in the Bhrumadhya, in the center point, in the place of the third eye, and how she should meditate. And then Bhagavan said, I only took away that japmala because now you don't need to do that chanting. Now you have to meditate. And then Bhagavan said, if any time your mind is disturbed, pour water in this Rudraksha and drink this Teertham. Take this Rudraksha water. For Kantamma, this has been her daily morning routine for so many years now. She meditates every morning with this Rudraksha in the way Bhagwan had told her. And she drinks this Rudraksha water every Thursday. This became her spiritual sadhana. And Bhagwan went on to guide her about her spiritual journey and what is the next thing that she should do in her life after she blessed her with that Ekamukhi Rudraksha. The next step in her life was to settle down in Prashantanilayam, and Bhagwan enabled that. How that happened, when that happened, and what did Bhagwan say when Bhagwan asked her to permanently settle down in Prashantanilayam? We'll come to that in the next episode of Beacons of Prashantanilayam. Dear listeners, it has been a very precious thing for me to talk to Kantamma Garu and share her story, because it is stories of such people which inspire us to walk on this path with added zeal, with relentless commitment and dedication to Bhagwan. And it is these souls who have lit our way. Let us follow their path and sanctify our lives. We'll continue this in the coming episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. As always, if you have anything to share, you can write to listener@radioside.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258, offering this little endeavor at his lotus feet. I take you deep. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.